Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? So glad you're here. Come on, let's give God a great big hand. Come on, somebody. And awesome. Hey, I'm going to ask this, some of y'all on the ends, if you could slide in a little bit. It'll just make communicating a little easier for me and just a little bit spread out. So if you could just slide into the middle. We have some of the expensive seats up front, and they're discounted today. And so if you wanted to just slide in and slide over, that would just help me immensely. Wow, you're so obedient. Very good. Whatever you guys want, I don't know. Maybe we'll go over to Plaza Azteca and get you something. I don't know. They're not open yet, or else we would. Good deal.
Perfect timing.
How about sheets? How about something from sheets? Here we go. Oh, man. Come on. How many of y'all excited to be at church today? Wow. And we've been in the wonder of Christmas. We've been looking at the Christmas story. Now, like many times we read a Bible story, but this is really a story of the Bible. See, there's a difference between a Bible story and a story of the Bible. And today is really, again, about the Christmas story, the wonder of Christmas. And we've been just going verse by verse through the Christmas story and just allowing the text to be the text. And so today we're going to look at some significant verses in this story of the Bible story of Christmas here and just really just go verse by verse and enjoy the text and allow it to breathe to us. And so that's what we're doing today. And I hope and pray that you enjoy it. After all, you made it here today. Come on, somebody. And you made it all the way here. And I know what some of you are thinking. I made it all the way here. This better be good. Come on, somebody. And so no pressure, Pastor. No pressure. But okay, the wonder of Christmas. Now, I just want to stop for a second and really just talk about, you know, wonder. Like, what does wonder really mean? In the English word, wonder literally means, this is the English word, wonder, a cause of astonishment, amazement, or admiration. So many of us in the English language here, when we say wonder of Christmas or you wonder about something, it's like, wow, astonished, amazed, admiring. That's in the English term. Now, in the New Testament, in the Bible, the New Testament original language was in Greek. It wasn't in English. And so in the Greek language, it's a very, it's a different language than we're used to. Every word is very significant. It's made up of different words put together. And so here in Luke 1:29, Mary was troubled and she wondered what kind of greeting this was. And so in the story of Christmas, Mary was greeted by the angel, said, Mary, you're blessed by God. You're gonna conceive and you're gonna have a child, and his name will, you know, become, you know, Emmanuel, God with us, the whole deal. And she wondered. It doesn't mean she was like, oh, I've been waiting for this. That wasn't the wonder. That wasn't like, wow, this is gonna be awesome. No, the real word, Greek word wonder there was this one, and that is there was a reckoning. There was a back and forth through evaluation. There was coming to a conclusion. See, many times when God does something in our lives, we hear it, and it's not astonishing at first. It's like we're wondering what's going on here. And then there's a reckoning. There's an exchange. There's a back and forth that we have with God in order to come to a conclusion. So when we say the wonder of Christmas, we're re-looking at just the whole story and saying, what is the wonder? What's the exchange that we have? What's the reckoning that we have with this story here? And how can we figure out what really is God doing here? What does this really, really mean here? So what do we do in the waiting? What do we do in the wondering? What do we do in the dark times of life? In between the Old Testament in the New Testament, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Okay, I know many of you, maybe from your Italian background, you say Malachi. It wasn't Malachi; it was Malachi. And then all the way up to Matthew. There was 400 years in between there, and there was silence. There was no words of God. There was no communication from God on what we call the written word called the Bible here. Now, how many of you have ever felt like God is silent to you? How many of you ever felt like God, are you there or are you silent? Anybody here? How many of you have ever waited 400 years for him to speak? Okay. 400 years is a significant amount of time. Am I right? So 400 years. And it's interesting that when God shows up after 400 years of silence, he speaks to this ordinary little Jewish girl in an ordinary place with an ordinary couple in an ordinary time when it seemed like all was lost here. And he speaks to her, and he does this thing called prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? That's a fancy word. Maybe you've heard of this word or not. But prophecy is not fortune-telling. It's forth-telling. It's speaking forth. It's speaking forth of God's truth. It's a revelation. It's a message from God. And when God breaks the silence in our life, he does it with a message from God. And so we have to ask ourselves, even on Sunday mornings here, or did you come for a message from Pastor Rick or Pastor Nick or whoever else is up front? Or did you come for a message from God? See, is this a message from God or is this a message from man? We need to treat each one. But prophecy specifically, typically, and according to 1 Corinthians 14, is encouragement, exhorting, and comfort here. And so what I'm trying to say is, in the midst of darkness, God speaks. See, many of you came to church today, and it is the happiest time of the year, and it just puts a skip in your step, and this is wonderful. But unfortunately, many people this time of year, it creates more of a wonder. God, what are you doing, and where am I? Maybe December reminds you of things lost, things in the past. Maybe there's a lot of depression and anxiety and fear. It's another year of unmet expectations. But I just want to tell you, if that's you here today, you made it here. You didn't just press through the snow this morning. You made it. And I just want to say thanks for pressing through. Yeah. See, many times the difference between hearing God and not hearing God is just pressing through. Yeah. Right. It's just pressing through the stuff in our lives to get to the point where God does have a chance to speak to us. Right. You know, I can relate over the past years. Natalie and I, December was a really rough month. It was a rough time of the year. But thank God, that's in the rearview mirror. That's in our past right now. That's back there, and we're in a new day, in a new time where God's speaking. He's doing new things. I'm thankful for a new season in my life. How about you? But see, in the midst of that wondering, in the midst of that challenge here, in the midst of that reckoning going back and forth, what I want to urge you to do, not just today in this moment, but even in this season, is go back to the wonder. The story of the Bible. Without this story, we really wouldn't even have the Bible. We really wouldn't even have anything that I'm communicating here. Okay, here we go, the story. The angel shows up and communicates with Mary and says, hey, Mary, you're going to have a child. And Pastor Nick preached it last week. You know, how will it be? And you know, will this be? How will it be? Let it be. All these BBs and all these things going on here. And then she goes off and she gets with her cousin Elizabeth. And everybody needs an Elizabeth in your life. Everybody needs somebody to confirm the word of God in your life. Everybody needs somebody that can confirm. And for some of y'all here today, you've been going to people outside of the faith trying to get them to confirm what you should do. And I don't know if you know this or not, but people outside the faith, they're all jacked up and crazy. Okay? And they're going to tell you crazy things. Am I right or wrong? They're going to tell you why you're going to church, why you believe in God, why you trust in him. That's what they're going to tell you. Man, if you would have called a couple friends today and you said, well, should I go to church or not? They'd say, take it easy. Stay home, you know? Let this be a PJ day, okay? And thank God none of you wore them today, okay, right here. Okay, but what I'm trying to say is you need an Elizabeth in your life. You need somebody that's going to help confirm the word of God in your life. Okay, here we go. Luke 1:45. Are you ready?
Yes.
No, I said, are you ready?
Yes.
I mean, are you really ready?
Yes.
You're here, so let's go. Come on, somebody. And blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Okay, here we go. There's this word, blessed and believed, which again, in the Greek, is very, very significant. These two words are very connected in the Greek, in the original text of the Bible here. Because blessed, That's a significant word. It's used in Matthew chapter 5 in what we call the Beatitudes. If you're wondering, if you're ever wondering how your attitude ought to be, you ought to read the Beatitudes. See what I did there? Come on, some of you will catch up with that in just a little bit, okay? How's your attitude ought to be? Read the Beatitudes, okay? And there's this word blessed there. And this word blessed means enviable. It means you're happy. It means that people look at you and they see the favor of God on your lives. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Okay, some of you. Yeah. How many of y'all really, how many of y'all are just too blessed and God ought to stop? I'm just too blessed, God ought to dial it down a little bit, okay? Said nobody ever. See, this word blessed, okay, enviable, okay, favor, happy, joyful, all those things. And then we find the word who believed. Belief is a faith word. Faith is faith. Put your trust in, and we put our trust in God, not in a thing, not in a something, but a somebody. God persuaded that God will do what he said he would do. Okay, this is faith. See, many of us want blessings, but we don't want faith. See, many people want to be blessed. I want the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God. The blessings of God come through faith. Faith in God. Faith in stepping out in God. And many people in the room right now, you're wondering where the blessings are. That's typically one step away from where you are right now. See, when you go one step beyond what you can do on your own, you find the presence of God. You find the power of God. You find the provision of God. And where God wants us to go is into a place of faith, because then we're blessed. Blessed is she who believed that God would do what he said he would do. The fulfillment of those things. See, many of us in the room, we have a false context or a pretext about faith. We think that faith is only, or we think we get what we want from God only by need, when really it's by faith. See, many of us think if I have a big enough need and if I can get to God, the top of God's good list, not his naughty list, then he'll give me what I need. And that's not true. God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. And when we have faith in God, we find God. Are you with me? See, that's what he wants us to find. So right here in this story, it's a story about faith. And I want to tell you right now, there are a lot of things in my life. I'm still believing for God to do what he said he would do. There's things with my family, things with my children, things with, you know, all the above and all these things with the church, vocationally, financially. I'm still believing God's going to do what he said he would do. Is anybody with me? But I'm not wavering that. I'm holding fast to that. It's the anchor that's pulling me into my future. You see, that's what we see in this story here. Blessed is she who believed. And blessed are you who believe that God is going to do what he said he would do. Amen. Come on, that excites my soul here. So let's go on here, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Okay, now many circles, I don't know about you, I grew up in the Catholic, I was an altar boy, and so Mary was highly, highly esteemed in the Catholic Church. Don't know if y'all know that or not, okay? As a matter of fact, just earlier today, I started going through some old prayers that we did in the Catholic Church, and I could recite every one of them. I was just testing myself to see. They just start coming out of me, you know. As a matter of fact, you put me right in the Catholic Church right now, I know when to genuflect, I know when to cross myself, I know the whole deal, okay? It's in there still, okay? And so Mary, unfortunately, is very, I'm saying that unfortunately, very, very unjustly, highly not esteemed, but worshipped in the Catholic faith. And I just want to tell you that we honor Mary. She's blessed because she believed, but we don't worship her. Okay? Like we don't worship her, but we honor. I mean, she said yes to God. So as you hear the word of God, as you believe the word of God, and you're blessed, we're going to honor the decisions you make too. Okay? Okay? We're not going to give you a half shell to listen to live in, but we're going to, some of you will get that later, okay? But some of y'all, listen, Listen, we're going to honor but not worship. Are you there now? See, so Mary's first response was this incredible thing to God. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, how did this little Jewish girl, 14, 15 years old, have such a response to God of my soul magnifies the Lord? Mary, you're gonna give birth. This is an impossible thing. I want some of you to picture this. I want you to go to work tomorrow. I want you to go to school tomorrow. And I want you to tell everybody, ladies, I want you to go and tell everybody that the Holy Spirit made you pregnant. And you're gonna birth the Son of God. And then, guys, I want you to go to work and tell everybody, yeah, my wife got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And I want to see their look on your face. Like, sure, man. Yeah, okay. Back away. Okay. Am I right or wrong? Like, this is crazy. Okay, but she said, now everything I'm going to read in all the verses coming up, I want to point out to you that I believe that this young little Jewish girl had the Word of God in her heart. Because I find 7 references in the Old Testament to what she said is known as the Magnificat. The Magnificat. This is what it's known as here. The Magnificat is Latin. It's Latin. I know there's English and there's Greek and there's Latin. Okay, that's all the Englishes I'm going to refer to today. That's all the word. That's all the languages, rather. My soul magnifies the Lord. That's the Magnificat. It's the Mary song of praise. So Mary had a song of praise come out of her. She had something erupt out of her life. And what I'm trying to tell you is, whenever God asks you to do big things, you got to have the Word of God in your life. You got to have stored the Word of God in your life, because what's going to come out of you next is going to determine if you got the Word of God in you or not. Right. See, you got when you have the Word of God in you, it starts to come out. Yeah. But if you ain't got no Word in you, how many of y'all know other things come out? Yeah. That should not be repeated in church. Am I right or wrong? Right? See, you got to have the Word in you. And this little Jewish girl, she had the Word of God in her. 7 references that I can find. Some writers say there's up to like 15. I can find a definite 7 in Psalm, in Isaiah, and so on there. So she sings this song of praise. See, the something erupted. My soul magnifies the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of speculation right now. This is just speculation. I don't have proof text, but I just want to pull you into the story right here. I want you to think about this. She's pregnant with child. She was betrothed but not officially married. And according to the Old Testament, she should have received the death sentence for getting pregnant outside of wedlock. So she should have died. I want you to think about this. When she walked down the street, I can only imagine, I'm only imagining, but hey, isn't that Mary? The one who said the Holy Spirit made you pregnant. Who's she kidding? Poor Joseph. Poor Joseph. What's Mary thinking? Telling such a crazy story. That whore. That adulteress. Crazy person thinking God did that. Now, I'm telling you this. Could this have been the song she sang every time somebody made fun of her for believing in the fulfillment of God? She had a song inside of her. She had something inside of her that said, no, my soul will magnify the Lord. My soul, my will, my emotions, that my desires, the thing that I choose, I'm going to choose to magnify the Lord. That, my friends, is the Magnificat. That's what we are faced with. So, and there's always going to be an opportunity to have pessimism or praise. We got to choose. We got to choose. Are we going to put praise on, or are we going to put pessimism on? I'm sure this isn't going to work out. I'm sure this is just the same old. I'm sure this is not, I'm sure God can't do what he said he would do. Am I right? See, are we going to trust God? So when God, this next year, many people sitting right here right now, God's going to speak to you to go on a missions trip this next year. I'm prophesying to you right now. I'm giving you a message of the Lord right now. Now you got to decide, is it old Pastor Rick or is it Father God? I'm prophesying to you that God wants you to go on a missions trip. And what you're going to have to say is this. You're going to have to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to embrace that. Or you're going to say, God, that can't happen. Ain't got no money. Well, how many of you know if God asks you to do something, he's going to pay for it?
Yep.
No, I'm going to say that again. See, if God asks you to do something, he said he's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Are you with me? See, but many of us don't think that way. We don't come with our first response, my soul magnifies the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. He's asked me to go into Honduras. He's asked me to go to Guatemala. He's asked me to go to somewhere else. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. This is exciting here. Now, there's a reckoning. There's a going back and forth, but the wonder has to come to a conclusion. Will God do what he said he would do based on his word? See, that's what this is really all about here. And she rejoices in the Lord here. Philippians 4:4. Here, rejoice in the Lord, how often?
Always.
And again I say,
rejoice.
Now that sounds like such a happy little verse. But I don't know if you know this or not. The Apostle Paul wrote this from prison. He wrote this from prison. Hey, come on, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Are you kidding me? How about this one? Rejoice how often?
Always.
Pray without
ceasing.
Give thanks in all your
circumstances.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we rejoice. We choose to magnify. Worship, praise and worship is a choice. Following Jesus is a choice. I'm choosing. Hey, soul, we're going to bless the Lord today.
Yeah.
Hey, soul, I don't know if you know this or not. We're going to bless him today. Do you know there's many, many mornings I get up, I have to tell my soul who's in charge. I'm just like you. Soul, we're going to bless the Lord today. We're going to do this today. Oh, well, it praise and worship just comes so easy for you. No, if I just go wrapped up in my head, I would sit at home all day. I would never leave it. Come on. No, soul, we're going to do something about this today. Just like you did something about today. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to honor him. It all comes down to what you magnify. What are you magnifying in your life? What are you making bigger here? See, whatever you magnify is going to become bigger. Are you magnifying all the difficulties, all the circumstances? God, I don't know if you know this. People are making fun of me. People are laughing at me. People are doing this to me. People are doing that to me. No, I'm going to magnify the Lord in all my circumstances. See, this is the deal here. Are we telling God how big our problems are, or are we telling our problems how big God is? Come on. Hey, God, I got these problems. Hey, God, I got these problems. I got big problems. My boss, they're not happy. Hey, God, I didn't get a Christmas bonus this year. Got Jelly of the Month Club. That's all I get, God. Come on, is this really God? Is this all you got for me? Hey, God, I got problems. I got too much Christmas, not enough money.
Mm.
Hey, God, I got a problem. This person I'm married to. Hey, God, I got a problem. I'm not married to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. See, it's just all a matter of perspective. See, I got these problems, and we're telling God about our problems, but what we need to tell is our problems is how big God is. See, when you begin to tell your problems how big my God is, something begins to change inside of you. Perspective changes.
Yeah.
So we need to look and say, you know, as many people here will want to be generous. I believe you're generous, generous people. And you want to be more generous. But the problem is I don't have enough money. You need to tell your money. We're going to bless the Lord today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bless the Lord today. No, we're going to bless the Lord. You're going to bless the Lord, bank account. You're going to bless him. You got to start telling your problems like this is my God here. See, what does praise and worship do? When we sing and we praise, this is what it does. It reorients, realigns, and recalibrates my heart to trust in God.
Amen.
So you know what happens to me every time I sing a song? Every time I put the right music on it in my car? How many of y'all know there's right music and wrong music? There's some music that enrages you. It's making you crazy. Stop listening to that. But there's other music that does something to you. It recalibrates your life and says there's a great God we can trust. See, that's worship. That's praise. What kind of praise comes out of you? When you praise God, it reorients your life. It says, yes, God will do what he said he will do. I can trust him. This is what happens when we give financially. It reorients, realigns, and recalibrates that I can trust God and God will do what he said he will do.
Yeah.
That's blessed. Come on. That's what I'm talking about here. That's why write down Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Write that down. Write that down. You got to read Psalm 103 this week. I'm telling you, it's just filled with my soul. Listen, this is how I did learn it. I learned it. My soul will magnify the Lord. Come on, soul. We're going to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And I will not forget all his benefits. He has redeemed my life. He has saved my life. He is the one who I can trust with my life. Come on, that's where we live. That's where we get to live here. Okay, let's read on. Luke 1:48. For he has looked on the humble estate of a servant. This is Mary's song. This is what came out of her. You've looked on my humble estate. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. The promises that Pastor Nick mentioned earlier, the promises of God are from generation to generation. They're for other people. God's doing something right now here. And I know that right now. He's doing something. And these invitations, I'm telling you, you got to take these invitations, hand them to people who need, they need hope. I took pictures of this. First thing I did today, I took pictures of the times. I took pictures of this invitation. I texted them to a friend of mine that I'm believing God's going to come. So first thing when he woke up, I'm sure it's way earlier than he wanted to get a text. But I'm inviting him. I'm believing God. Yes. See, I'm thinking about him right now. I'm thinking about the promises are for him and his family. That's who I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the man that I met the other night at movie night, and he hasn't been in church. I kind of gave up on church because of some things that happened. Not going to get into it. But I said, you know, this church, it's for guys like you and me trying to figure out what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yeah. That's what this word doing. We're all trying to figure it out. Why don't you come figure it out? Come to Candlelight.
Right.
He says, I don't go to church. God told me, God gave me a sign. I'm not welcome. I said, that wasn't a sign from God. Why on earth would God tell you not to go to church?
Right.
Last I checked, the devil tells people that stuff. Okay, come on now. He goes, I got me there. Come on, somebody. But the humble state, there's mercy and might, the humble state of God. Humble is something you do to you. You humble yourself. God, listen, stop praying, God, humble me. See, if you're asking God to humble you, you better watch it. He's going to show up and do it. And I'm telling you this, when God shows up to do it, that means you didn't do it on your own. How many of y'all have kids? How many of you have ever given your kids every last chance to please repent and get right? How many of you have ever done that? And you keep giving them every chance. Just humble yourself. Just make it right. Make it right. Am I right? Come on. Come on. And then pretty soon, you got to the end of your rope, and you said, I'm going to help humble you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, when you step in to do it, how many of y'all know? They've exhausted every opportunity to repent at that point. Are you with me? I gave you every chance to humble yourself. Well, humble yourself is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about you less. I'm going to lay my life down to him. Okay, last verses here, 51. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to the fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Let me ask you a question. What's your song? What's your song? Do you have a song? Do you have something in your heart of hearts that when you're challenged, when God asks you, I got a song in my heart. I got a song in my heart. And listen, so many Christmas carols right now, they have good, solid meaning. Come on, Pick one. You know, don't be singing no Santa babies. Be singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Like, come on. Okay, come on. Like, you got to get the right song in your heart. Because the right song, what's coming out of you, it recalibrates your mind. Our minds need to recalibrate because there's an exchange God is doing. Are you with me? God is full of might and he's full of mercy. I believe praise is all about might. God is strong and he is able and he is willing. Are you with me now? God is a strong God. His arm is strong. He protects me. I don't have to protect me. God protects me. Are you with me? But I also need his mercy. I'm so thankful I don't get what I deserve. How about you? He's full of might and he's full of mercy. And when we worship him, we recalibrate to those things. So Mary rejoiced in the Lord. My soul, Jews, my soul, we're going to magnify the Lord. And then I'm going to see him for who he really is. I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to tell my problems about how big God is. And I'm going to lay my life down once again for him. Would you stand to your feet with me today? And this is what I want you to do. I want you to just get a little bit of space in between you and the person next to you. You got to get some space. See, when I worship God, I need some space. If I don't get a little bit of space, I'm going to take you out. And so this is what we're going to do. Pastor Nick taught on this a couple weeks ago. My wife, Natalie, and I were here. It was so good. What is this? The universal sign of surrender. I don't know if you know this. Have you ever watched a football game? How many of y'all are Steeler fans? How many of you know when they score a touchdown, what do? Even if you're down by 40, we are number one. Touchdown. We're winning. There's victory. So I'm going to invite you into this song right now. Jordan and the team are going to lead. And they're going to let me help on this one. And we're going to worship the Lord. Our hands are going to go up. And we're going to lay down our life. But we're going to praise the Lord with everything within us. Come on, are you ready? Come on, let's worship him.